You are listening to Strategy of Finance Clips, our short-form, topic-based content. Let's dive in.
As I think about, most software markets aren't necessarily a winner-take-all market from a, you know, market share or a revenue perspective. But certainly, a large portion of the value inures to the leader, right? Mm-hmm. Funding is relatively abundantly available for the right kind of founders and concepts and businesses that are coming up, right? In that pretext, is 30% EBITDA margin dream of any SaaS company really a dream or a mirage? Is there a secret to achieving that? Having seen so many businesses, do you have a formula that you feel like, hey, this is the right way to get there and sustain?
SaaS is in this world of incredibly strong margins. The only reason a SaaS business would have a lack of profitability is because they're very, you know, inefficient, or they don't have a product that people like, or they're just investing a lot in growth. Right. And that, all of those things can be realities that good companies experience at some point in time. Then maybe they grow out of them, they fix them. It is kind of easy to have good margins in SaaS. Just had a really great conversation with a CFO recently who was talking about his growth and profitability framework. And it's something that I've spoken to, you know, multiple CFOs about and kind of had myself in the past. And I think it's really important to think about EBITDA margins in that lens. You know, you need to have this concept of, yeah, you can get to 30% EBITDA margins if you want to, but you're probably going to kill growth to do it, you know, in most, you know, medium-sized, semi-mature businesses. And so I think it's almost maybe in my mind more of a fallacy of, you know, oh, like, is anyone actually going to get to the 30% EBITDA margin? I think they will as soon as they are willing to slow down the growth rate. It's just that growth is so worthwhile relative to margin that most companies, as soon as they get to, you know, cash flow break even, they say, let's reinvest. You know, like every dollar I put in, I'm getting $2 out or $3 out. So why would I just take the dollar out instead of, you know, getting $3 out in a year? SaaS is just such a good business that it leads to a lot of reinvestment. And it's definitely not the universal story, but I think that's a very common story. You know, Zendesk, for instance, was growing at, let's say, you know, 30 to 40% for many years while I was there annually. And we had a EBITDA margin, I want to say, well, non-GAAP anyways, was positive. If you include the equity compensation, right, that's a whole different story, but a whole other kind of debate to have. But their non-GAAP margin was positive by, I want to say, 5%, you know, like nominally positive, and cash flow margin was materially positive. And so, you know, if they wanted to, they probably could have just slowed down growth and they could have gotten to a 30% EBITDA margin and even a GAAP profitability of some level with a significant cash flow margin. But would that really have been the right thing for the business? You know, I think investors would have said, I'm out, you know, like you would have gotten a decent valuation on the cash flow. And that's like a nice business that will last for a while. But as soon as you stop investing in R&D, you stop investing in S&M, you're going to end up with slower growth and then increasingly slower growth over time as your product falls behind. And so that just is a much less compelling decision for folks to make, especially when they have the pressure of being public. That gives me, you know, the reason to bring up one other, like, I don't know, pet peeve, I guess I might say, of mine, which is the notion of, you know, being beholden to investors. And there's no easy solve for this, but it is just so like sad to see how many businesses make decisions based on what their investors or what their board members are going to kind of demand from them versus taking the 4 to 5 year out view of it. And I think in many cases, going for profitability over growth, in my opinion, and of course it varies by circumstance a lot, would be something that you're going to get investors pushing for in certain circumstances, that might not be the right thing for the business. You know, it's the classic like Jeff Bezos quote, I believe. I think a number of, you know, famed business leaders have said this type of thing. But, you know, I'm baking the quarter like 3 years from now. You know, people congratulate me on the quarter I just had. And I tell them, like, cool, I made that quarter like 3 years ago. So I'm thinking about 1 3 years from now. Those are my thoughts. But also, you know, recognize that profitability has to be attained at some point, right? And so I do wonder what the future holds for a lot of these SaaS businesses, and if many of them will eventually start to make that pivot away from growth towards profitability.
Yeah, because as I think about it, as a technology business, you need to invest in R&D, right? As soon as you stop investing, you are going to fall behind the up-and-coming competitor who's looking to snatch up that market share from you, right? With doing something different, something unique. And there is always a new paradigm that is coming in, whether it's mobile, whether it's, you know, like this cloud, mobile, and then now sort of AI. So you need to continue to invest. And it seems like, you know, there's always day one, right, for something that you want to put money into. But interesting conversation. And I think from a capital allocation perspective, it's an interesting problem for finance folks to solve as well.
I feel it's one of the most interesting challenges for finance folks these days to think about developer productivity and the ROI of investment in development of certain areas of software. Inevitably, it's a question a CFO asks, the CEO asks, and, you know, in some cases, even the heads of product or engineering are asking, you know, how do we make sure that our folks are being high ROI, that they're working hard, that they're productive, and then how do we know that we're investing in the right products that are going to get us the ROI that we want? And those are incredibly difficult questions to answer on the finance side. I think you can do some interesting surveying. You can look at the market and you can examine, you know, just cases, scenarios of, you know, potential user, you know, numbers, adoption numbers, and, you know, the revenue that can be associated with that to try to build scenarios. But it's something that I feel, you know, needs to be a partnership with a lot of the other organizations in the company. So just sharing an anecdote, I had a great partner at Zendesk that did a lot of market research and was also a product sort of business operations and strategy and pricing and packaging person. A very well-rounded individual. And so I was able to use, you know, my finance experience and his, you know, product and kind of market knowledge to help create these informed scenarios around what products might look like, adoption might look like, pricing and packaging might look like, and therefore ultimately revenue might look like. Compare that against the potential investment that could be put behind it in terms of people dollars and come out with some sort of, you know, theoretical ROI. Were those numbers ever accurate? That's, you know, a very good question. The question I know the answer to, you know, in many cases, it would take years for all of it to play out. And so we don't really have good, you know, actuals against the scenarios we made. But it's something that I feel, you know, needs to be further explored in the finance world to try to make those hard decisions.
Subscribe channel for more amazing content.